Well, first of all, I want to wish all of the men, all of the dads, Happy Father's Day today. We appreciate our fathers. We remember our fathers in some cases. But what a blessing it is to those of us to have the experience and the privilege of being fathers and realizing that God has given us that great role in life to be a father to our children and an example. And I appreciated Karen saying some very sweet words to me on the way to service this morning. It really made my day. But we want to especially think of Gary and Don this time as fathers that they are and husbands that they are, being so faithful to their wives and caring for them in their time of need. And our prayers go up for Mary and Sharon as they struggle with their health. And we're reminded of the frail condition of our bodies that worked so well for us for so long, and our hearts pump the blood and our other organs function, and then there comes a time in life where our bodies just begin to give out. And as we get closer to the goal line of, as speaking of, as Christians, running the race and nearing the finish line, there is a victory in sight. But our hearts and our prayers are with Don and his family, and it's nice to see Paul and Elaine this morning. Welcome, both of you, and we've appreciated Elaine's post that she has made about Mary this week, reading those, and means a lot to all of us. So, happy Father's Day to all of you fathers in the audience. And I'd like to invite you to read with me, and again, in Mark chapter 4, and thank you, Gary, for the reading this morning. Mark chapter 4, and beginning with verse 35 and through verse 40, we're going to take this reading and this lesson from the life of Jesus to talk about the storms that we can have in our lives today. And the fact that God is there in these storms as they come in our lives also. So we're going to begin in Mark chapter 4 and verse 35. And it said that on the same day when evening had come, he said to them, "Let us cross over to the other side." And now when they had left the multitude, they took him along in the boat as he was. And other little boats were also with him. And this was an invitation that Jesus was making to them that seemed ordinary at the time, to cross over to the other side of the Sea of Galilee. And these were experienced fishermen and had done this hundreds of times in their life. So they got onto the boat and began rowing while Jesus went down in the lower parts of the ship and took a much-needed nap as he was weary from the day. And he was sleeping soundly there. And it said that a great windstorm arose and the waves beat into the boat as they were crossing the sea there, so that it was already filling. But he was in the stern asleep on a pillow. And they awoke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And so, in their fear and their emotions of reaction to what they were experiencing, this storm came up on the sea, was such a frightening storm that they thought they were going to perish. And so they woke Jesus and began to admonish him almost, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And then it says that Jesus arose and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace be still." And the wind ceased, and there was a great calm. But he said to them, "Why are you so fearful? How is it that you have no faith?" A better translation maybe there would be, "Why are you so timid, fearful ones?" It was as if Jesus was saying to his disciples, haven't you learned anything so far from the time that we have been spending together? Why are you so fearful? After all, what had Jesus said to them earlier? He said, "Let's cross over to the other side." He didn't say, "Why don't we go out to the middle of the Sea of Galilee and drown in the water?" If he had said that, there might have been some concern, a reason for panic on their part. But Jesus was assuring them that we are going to be able to cross to the other side. Now, he didn't necessarily promise that the sailing would be smooth all of the way across, but that there would be a safe passage and arrival on the other side. So I think all of us should look at that I would rather be in a storm with Jesus than anywhere else without him. Today there are probably some of us here, and I know of two in particular, that are going through a storm in your lives. And there are indeed many times in life that those storms strike. And we find ourselves out there caught in the middle of the sea, so to speak, also. And yet Jesus is there with us. And it is comforting to us to be reminded of his presence and God's presence with us, that we need to trust him when we are in those storms of life, because he will not abandon us. He will not let us down. And we have his word for that, because he has said to us, "I will never leave you nor forsake you." And there are many lessons, I believe, that we can draw from this example of Jesus crossing the sea. And I want to take four of those lessons for us this morning, for us to think about in our lives. And the first of those is the reality of the storms of life that come. That we are aware of those, and we can anticipate and we can expect to know that we are going to be going through trials and we are going to be going through storms in life. That God has not made us to be immune from the troubles of life just because we are Christians. In fact, in John chapter 16 and verse 33, Jesus said, "These things I have spoken to you, that in me you may have peace. In the world you will have tribulation, but be of good cheer, I have overcome the world." There are many of us that do face very real difficult trials every day of life. Some of us have lost our mates here in the last year or two. Some of you here this morning are going through that. There are others of going through health problems. Very difficult and frightening and constant health problems. And there are many other types of trials that we go through. So being a Christian doesn't save us from those. But knowing that we have a Savior by our side, and that we are able to look at life through the perspective that Jesus is with us, and that he is there to comfort us, and he is there to see us through these things that happen in life, makes all the difference in the world. It reassures us we're not alone in our struggles and in our pain, and we're able to look at these in a light that there is a purpose. There is a purpose that God has in all of these trials of life that come. In the book of James, in James chapter 1 and verse 2, James says, "And my brethren, count it all joy when you fall into various trials, knowing that the testing of your faith produces patience. But let patience have its perfect work, that you may be perfect and complete, lacking nothing." James reminds us that there is a purpose in the storms and the trials that we go through, and that he commands us to rejoice in these trials. Count it all joy when you fall into various trials. Not if you fall into various trials, when you fall into various trials. But he says, count it all joy. And how can we see that as joyful? That seems impossible for us to do. But from God's perspective, it does make sense, because our trials bring us closer to him. And they leave us seeing that God is all able to provide for us, and we can learn to trust him more and more. Now, we may not want to face trials, any of us in life. We may not see them as being a benefit to us or necessary. But that's because we don't have God's perspective on life. And so even when our world begins to crumble and our world begins to shake and everything seems to be falling apart, we never leave the hands of God. God is there with us in all of those things that we are going through in life. And in Romans chapter 5 and verse 3, the Apostle Paul says, "And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope." Perseverance is one of the things that we must have in order to make it through life to heaven. And it is tribulation, he says, that produces perseverance for us. Something that is absolutely necessary for us to be saved and to reach heaven. We must have perseverance, endurance in life. And we learn that many times through the tribulations that we go. And also hope. God gives us hope as we go through these trials. We realize that God has something better in mind for us, even when this life comes to a close. So trials and storms do happen to us in life. Every one of us is going to go through them. Many of us are already in the midst of them. But Jesus is there with us. And that's the beautiful thing that we need to see. But there are the emotions that we have as human beings as we go into trials and storms. As the apostles and the disciples were out on the Sea of Galilee and they began to see the waves crashing around them, they were fearful. And they said, "Lord, don't you care that we perish?" And they thought that they were going to die. So we all go through times in life where we are feeling trouble and we're feeling fearful and we're feeling hopeless and sad and worried about what's going to happen. But the Scripture gives us many promises of assurance in these times. And in Isaiah 41 and verse 10, he says, "Fear not, for I am with you. Be not dismayed, for I am your God. I will strengthen you. Yes, I will help you. I will uphold you with my righteous right hand." God is promising to us to be there beside us when we're in some of the worst, hardest times of life, when sadness overwhelms us and we feel like there isn't anywhere for us to turn and we feel all alone. God says, "No, I'm with you. Fear not. I will strengthen you with my righteous right hand." Jesus says the same things to us in John 14, verse 27. "Peace I leave with you," he said. "My peace I give to you, not as the world gives to you, do I give to you. Let not your heart be troubled, neither let it be afraid. There's many times that in life, even the strongest Christians experience times of trouble and emotional sadness and grief and worry and fear come upon us. And we sometimes are afraid to admit or acknowledge those emotions like that. But it's important for us to deal with them, with all of our emotions. These, even the negative ones that we have, when we are facing these kind of trials in life, and we look at the sadness and we look at the anger and fear and sometimes the doubts that can come up in our mind, we need to see that God gives us hope. He gives us comfort and encouragement. God is a God of compassion. He cares about His people. And we're told that when we are facing with sadness in life, when we maybe have lost a loved one, or a feeling that we might lose a loved one, we see that God promises, as He says, that He is near the brokenhearted. He is a God that cares about us then in those times, and He sees those that are sad and going through those times, and He is close to those people. He lifts them up. He cares about them and is there near at hand. And those that are hopeless and see, what am I going to do? How are we going to get out of this situation? We don't know where to turn. God says we can cast our cares upon the Lord, and He will sustain us. He will be with us. Sometimes there's nothing better that we can do than to cast our cares on the Lord. And realize that it's out of our hands. We can't solve these problems. We can't do it by ourselves. But we can turn it over to God and trust that it is now in His hands. And we have absolute trust in Him. May His will be done. And when there are those fears that are coming upon us, and life seems so uncertain of what's going to happen. We may be diagnosed with cancer, or a loved one diagnosed with a terminal illness. We turn to the Lord. And in Psalm 18 in verse 2, He said, "The Lord is my rock and my fortress and my deliverer, my God, my strength, in whom I will trust, my shield and the horn of my salvation, my stronghold. I will call upon the Lord, who is worthy to be praised, so I shall be saved from my enemies." So we can turn to God in those times, and knowing the power of prayer, knowing the power of prayer is another lesson that we all can take strength and encouragement from as we know the Lord. As we go through these times in life, what should we do? God has given us the blessing of prayer. He has assured us. And one of the verses that I think we all should be aware of and take strength from is 1 John 5 and verse 14 and 15. He said, "Now this is the confidence that we have in Him, that if we ask anything according to His will, He hears us." He hears us. "And if we know that He hears us, whatever we ask, we know that we have the petitions that we have asked of Him." He goes on to assure us, though, that it is according to His will, that we pray according to the will of God. And when we pray according to the will of God, we understand that we are truly handing that over to God. "Lord, Your will be done." That we recognize that God's will is the best. When we pray that prayer, we know there is a risk involved. What if God doesn't answer my prayer the way I think He should? What if He doesn't come through and save me from my problems? So in our darkest moments, in our darkest times, sometimes prayer even may seem unable to do what we would want to accomplish through God. But it tells us here that we can have confidence when we pray. No matter what we ask for, God will hear us. And if we pray according to His will, He hears us. The difficult part of that, of course, is having the faith to pray according to God's will. Because we don't always know what God's will is. We might have a prayer in mind that our loved one will be made well, that their health will be fully restored. But we don't always know that that is the will of God. We pray that God's will be done and trust that whatever that may be, God's will be for the good. Prayer, though, connects us with God. We are assured that He hears our prayer, that He cares about us, and that His will is righteous. His will is of all of His wisdom. That God has a plan. He has a purpose in everything that happens in life. And ultimately, His plans are going to work out for the good of us all. That if we trust Him and follow His will, God's will bring us safely to the other side. As Jesus said, let's cross to the other side. God will get us across through these storms of life. When we all hope that God is going to answer the prayer and relieve us from that struggle, He is going to answer in the way that we would desire and we would hope. But even when if that does not turn out to be God's plan, prayer is still important in our life. Because we're able to take our worries, we're able to take our cares, cast them on the Lord. And the Lord has promised us that we can have a peace that passes understanding. In Philippians 4, verses 6 and 7, he says, be anxious for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all understanding, will guard your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. God then has promised us that through our prayers, He hears our prayers. And as we pray, we ask, Lord, Your will be done in all things. We trust Your will. And as a result, those anxieties, those fears, we can lay them aside. And we can have a peace of God which passes all understanding. And as a result of that, we can find strength in God, in our faith in the Lord. We are told in Psalm 46, verses 1 through 3, God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble, therefore we will not fear. Even though the earth be removed, and though the mountains be carried in the midst of the sea. This gives us a very dramatic picture of faith overcoming our fears. Fear of isn't anything to laugh at, certainly, because it has stopped people from doing many things that they needed to accomplish. And we cannot give in to fear as Christians. Once we do that, we are losing hold on our faith in God when we give in to fear. David, here in the Psalms, he says that God is our refuge and strength, a very present help in trouble. And therefore, even though the earth be removed and the mountains be carried into the midst of the sea. If you've ever been up in the mountains, hiking or something like that, you can imagine what it would be like if the mountains around you began collapsing. But David isn't saying that the collapse of the mountains is not scary, but what he is saying is that faith is stronger than that fear. Because fear leaves us feeling that we're all alone. But our faith reminds us that God is the one who created the mountains. God is the one who sustains this universe and holds up this universe in the midst of space, in the midst of all of the vastness of space throughout the universe. It reminds us that He is by our side. So life is full of problems. Life is also full of joy. And as we go through the trials and the storms of life, we're reminded that God is there with us. And He has promised us that He will not leave us. He will not forsake us. I want to close this morning by going to God in prayer together. Our Father in heaven, as we come to You this day on a day that we recognize fatherhood and the blessings that we have as fathers, Father, we're thankful to You as our God. And we thank You, Lord, for the hope that we have in You, even through the trials of life. And as we as a family gather together here and are mindful of the health condition of Mary and the health of Sharon in the hospital, these two beloved sisters of Christ that we are blessed to know and see their example of their courage and of their faith. And we know, Father, that their bodies are very weak at this time. But we are thankful, Father, for the hope that You give us in these times of trial. And we pray, Father, that You will help us to keep in mind that in the middle of the difficulties of life, we can trust You to work these things out according to Your will. Father, we thank You for the assurance that You give us in the Scripture of Your love for each of us and the purpose of each of us in Your plans for good. And Father, we know that You are stronger than any problem we will ever face. Help us, Father, to give over our emotions and fears to You and to cast our burdens upon You in those times of need. Father, we thank You for using our suffering to draw us closer to You and to make us more like Your Son, Jesus Christ. Help us, Father, to learn perseverance and endurance, that we might grow in our character and find hope in You. And give us the faith, Father, that You are helping us to become better people through the trials that we face. We thank You for the blessing of prayer. And thank You that we can always come to You with our requests and our needs. Even they might be small and seemingly, yet we can come to You and lay them at Your feet. And we thank You, Father, that You have a perfect will in our lives and that we can pray according to Your will and trust that Your will work out for the good. And it will, as a result, You guard our hearts and minds and help us to have perfect peace. Lord, we thank You that You have power over everything, that You are all powerful, that You are the Creator, that You are the Redeemer, You are the Savior. Help us to have faith, Father, bigger than the fears that can gulf us over. And we pray, Father, that You will help us in our weakness to see Your strength. Thank You for sending Your Son into the world to die for our sins. And we pray that someday, perhaps in the near future, Jesus will return. And we pray, Father, that we will be ready, whether it come in our lifetime or not, that we will be watching and waiting. And help us to be found faithful so that together we can all be together in that home. And Father, we do pray on behalf for Mary and her family, for Don, for Paul and Elaine, for Gary, for all of their family, their beautiful family. We pray for them. We pray, Father, that Your will may be done. But we pray, Father, in our human desires, that they might be made stronger, that their health could grow stronger, because we love them, and they are a big part of our lives here. And we know how much they mean to Gary and to Don. So please be with them in this time. And Father, help each one of us to be found faithful. And we pray these things in the name of Jesus Christ, our Savior. Amen. We're going to stand and sing the invitation song. And there may be those this morning that are going through trials, going through difficult times in your life. But if you are not in Christ, we extend to you the invitation of the Lord. Come to Him. To surrender your life to Him in faith and in repentance and in baptism, that you might be added and to the body of Christ, and you're made new creatures, and your sins forgiven, and have the hope of heaven. We pray that you will come as we stand together and as we sing the invitation song.
The 103, 103, come to